Brother Paul Mahan, pastor of Central Baptist Church in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Welcome, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you. It's been good to be here. I have thoroughly enjoyed, been blessed by these messages. The one this morning, both messages last night. Thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for you men. And your pastor, I'm very thankful for him. I've known each of these men for quite a long time now, haven't we? Quite a long time. And esteemed them so highly and count it an honor to be your friend. And it's an honor to be here also. When asked to preach for a church, when a pastor asks me that, I'm always overwhelmed by it at first, incredulous that I would be asked, but honored because I know how I feel about the people whom I preach to. I'm very jealous for them and want men who have their good in mind. And I don't want to betray this honor. It's an undeserved privilege and an honor. And I want to comfort God's people and glorify Him at the same time. And let me also thank you for what you've done already to make this an enjoyable conference. All the food that's been prepared and will be, I expect, and all the hard work, I thank you for it. I know it's hard, a lot of work involved, and I thank you for it. I commend you for it. I do. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, knowing I would be bringing a second message, this will be a benediction. Benediction means blessing. And that's how this psalm begins and ends, with a blessing. Always been a favorite of mine and many of you, I'm sure. Two verses in particular that I always think of and come to mind, and one really spoke to me recently. Verses 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God the Father, Father to His children. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father, isn't it? We will probably make no real distinction here when we speak of the Lord, because the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, one Lord, and they are one in this work of salvation. So this is about the Father, whom the Son and the Holy Spirit all take place in this together in this work. Verse 1 begins this way: bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless means to worship, adore, thank, give all the glory to. Bless the Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Lord, O my soul. My soul, may every one of us in here personally bless the Lord. We all have great reason to do so, don't we? To worship the Lord. We're not here to merely go through a worship or a religious service, but we're here to worship the Lord, aren't we? To give thanks unto the Lord. Everyone in here surely has great cause to be here, don't you? Innumerable blessing that you can bless His holy name for. Bless the Lord and all that is within me, mind, heart, and soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. His holy name. How blessed we are if we fear his name. There is no fear of God before the eyes of our modern generation, is there? That is the thing that characterizes this generation more than any other to me. This unbelieving, untoward generation. No fear. They boast that. But we bless his holy name, don't we? We make mention that his name is exalted. We dare not use that name in any way other than in blessing and reverence and fear and respect. You young people, and let me warn you, never use that name. Never use that name in any way but in reverence and respect and fear. It's become a byword today, hasn't it? Don't get used to it. People that blurt out, "Oh my God," don't do that. Don't do that. We are to fear his name. We bless his holy name. Verse 2, "And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The Lord is our great benefactor. He daily loadeth us with benefits or blessings. But, like spoiled rich kids that we are, we often forget, don't we? We often forget that all things, every good and perfect gift comes from above, doesn't it? All material things, all spiritual things. What is the greatest blessing of all? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." And the next verse tells us, "who forgiveth all thine iniquity." That is the greatest blessing of all. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity in Christ, who paid for them, who suffered for them. Who forgiveth all thine inequity. Inequity means not you're not just. You're not right. In other words, he forgives everything that's not right about us. Which is, what is right about us? We just heard that. He forgives everything that's wrong with us, like a father. Just like a father. This is what we're leading up to. Just like a father who, a human father, their child can really do no wrong. Who forgiveth all that is wrong with us, all our inequity, forgiveth all our iniquity, past, present, and future. Didn't our Lord say, "All manner of sin shall be forgiven"? "And who healeth all thy diseases." The Lord healeth all our diseases. If anyone in here has been sick, it was the Lord that wounded you. Right? All that. I, the Lord, do all these things. If anyone is healed, though means were used, a physician, a hospital, medicine, nevertheless, it was the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, that healed you. Right? He gets all the glory. But you know, all of our physical ailments and diseases are not always healed, are they? While on this earth, many die from various diseases, cancer and so forth, don't they? But the spiritual diseases, which we all have, and we all don't have but one, we all have them all. Blind, halt, lame, deaf, dumb, lepers. The Lord heals all those in all of his people. Amen. All those diseases. And he redeemeth, verse 4 says, who redeemeth, the Lord redeemeth thy life from destruction. How many vessels of wrath are there out there in the world fitted for destruction, the scripture says? How many? How many people are there? Many go in that broad road that leads to destruction. Many. But few are chosen. Few are vessels of mercy fitted by the Lord as well. But these vessels of wrath, people who waste their substance, who sell themselves out to destruction. How many? And such were some of you, but God, for his great love wherewith he loved you, if you're in Christ, for his great love spared you from this destruction. He redeemed your life from destruction. Not because you or I had any redeemable quality. The only quality that made us redeemable is the fact that we needed redeeming. And our Lord Jesus Christ, like Hosea, it was mentioned last night, like old Hosea, was told to go and love a forlorn woman. And so he came, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he says, I bought her to me for a price. I redeemed her life from destruction. All of his people were redeemed by his precious blood. You know we're not redeemed with corruptible things, don't you? But with one thing, the precious blood of the Lamb. Verse 4 says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. You remember the story of the child in the field in the book of Ezekiel, cast out to the loathing of its person, how that it was polluted in its own blood. And when the Lord came by, he said, I saw you, and I said, live. And thy time was the time of love, my love towards you. And he said, I spread my skirt over you. I covered your nakedness. I swore unto you. I entered into a covenant with you because you're mine. I washed you with water. I thoroughly washed away the blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. I clothed you with broidered work, shod you with badger skin, girded you about with fine linen, covered you with silk, decked you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hand, a chain on your neck, a jewel in your forehead, earrings in your ears, and the last thing he said was, I put a beautiful crown on your head. He crowneth us, and the crown that we will receive in glory is salvation itself. The crowning glory. And we are, as it were, his crown. Jewels in his crown. He makes up his precious jewels. Put in his crown of his glory. He crowns his people with this salvation, which is his loving kindness and his tender mercy. Crown of them. Who verse 5 says, he satisfied thy mouth with good things. The Lord, every good and perfect gift. How much good have you and I enjoyed in this life? Just literally speaking, how much good have we enjoyed and been blessed with? God giveth us richly all things to enjoy, doesn't he? Just as you do your children. How much good have we been blessed with? How many good meals? Last night, I would venture to say that Solomon's table was no more beautiful than that. Brother Chris, he didn't eat better food than we did last night. There's a lot more of it, but he didn't eat any better food. How many good meals? How many good things have we been blessed with? How many good times have we enjoyed, Brother Bob, together? How many? But the chief good, it says he satisfied thy mouth with good. The chief good, the greatest good, is good news in it. The gospel, which satisfieth our mouth, which if you eat the blood, the body and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you hear the gospel of Christ, your salvation, doesn't it satisfy you? Those who hunger and thirst after him, his righteousness, do you not come away satisfied? Nothing else can satisfy you quite like this gospel. Satisfieth your mouth. He said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. If you come with a need for Christ, he said, just open your mouth. I'll fill it up and you'll be satisfied. Satisfied. And I believe that we have eaten truly at a greater table than Solomon's, the table of the blessed Lord, the table of his gospel. Don't take it for granted. Bless the Lord. While the world is eating the husks of religion and feigning satisfaction. People, we hear more gospel in 5 minutes than most hear in a lifetime. Don't ever take it for granted. Sad to say we do, don't we? Sad to say. And he says this gospel, these good things, your youth is renewed like eagles. How many? The oldest believer in here has flown out of this place on wings of eagles. There's times when you've heard this gospel, when you felt born again. Every time, as one of our brethren used to say, every time the gospel is preached and I hear it, I get saved. The Lord saves me. Feel like I'm born again, don't you? Well, we are in effect. New life. New life. Your youth is renewed like eagles. You go out of here skipping like a roe, leaping over a wall, running through a troop. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, for this gospel we get so much of daily. Loadeth up. Look at verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. All oppressed by sin. The Lord executeth, worketh out, provideth a perfect righteousness for all who are oppressed by sin. He executed it, didn't he? He worked this out, this perfect righteousness for them and in them. And this means the judge of all the earth, our Lord, will do what's right concerning his people. Everything he does is right and for our good. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Look at verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Made known. Well, so he's made known his ways to us, hasn't he? His acts, his works, he's made known unto us. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me thy way. And he did, Brother Tommy. Says the Lord put him in a cleft of the rock, and the Lord made his goodness pass before him. The Lord came down himself and stood right there on the rock. And we've already heard that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And have we not been put in the cleft of the rock of ages, which we just sang about? Has he not made his goodness pass before us? All the goodness of God has passed before us this morning in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, kind, has passed before us in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at these next few verses, and let's see what the Lord is and what the Lord will not do and what the Lord hath not done. Verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful. That's what he is, full of mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My greatest need is what he's fullest of. What, did you hear that, Brother Jim? What we need the most is what he has the most. He's full of it. Mercy. Merciful. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Gracious. By the grace of God I am what I am, and he giveth more grace. And giveth. And giveth. He's gracious. He delights to give. Delights to give. Like a father. He's slow to anger. Slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. There's plenty to go around. He doesn't just show it to one. As many have received this mercy and will continue to receive it because he's full of it and he's plenteous in doling it out. Abundant mercy. But he's slow to anger. Our brother has already said this morning, the anger of God was spent on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Father here who pities his children. And is there ever really a sense in which you're angry with your... Let me use a grandfather more as a title. A father, yeah, maybe an earthly father. a grandfather, okay? Listen, Brother Don, he's a grandfather, been one longer than me, and I couldn't believe he did not use one single illustration using his grandchildren. Well, I'm going to. I'm new at this, and I have the floor. I'm forced to listen to your stories. But a grandfather, anyway. Is there ever really a time when you're really, I mean, angry, when you want your wrath to come down? And our Lord, truly, He's not like us. Aren't you glad? God said that. He said, I'm God. I'm not a man. He's not like us. There's never really a sense, even a sense, in which God is angry Amen. With His children. Amen. Because He knows our frame. This is what I hope to get to in a moment. He knows our frame. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. There's another scripture that says He's ready to pardon. Ready to pardon. Waiting to pardon His children. Ready. More ready than they are to admit they need it. In fact, let me give you this illustration. My granddaughter, cutest girl ever been born. At any rate, my granddaughter one day was in, I had laid my Bible open on the stool in front of my chair there. I was reading, I had a pen that I was writing also, and I left the room, and I came back, and she had taken that pen and written her epistle all over that. She's 2 years old. Written her epistle all over. Well, I knew what I was going to do before I confronted her. I was going to pardon her. Long before she knew she needed it. I went up to her and I sat in front of her. I said, Isabella, look what you've done. I had to make her to know she'd done wrong. She didn't know she'd done wrong. Father, forgive them. They know not what they did. I had to give her repentance. I had to make her to know you've done wrong. And Brother D, as I began to speak to her, as sternly as I could. You know what I'm talking about. I saw her countenance begin to drop. And the realization of what she'd done pass over her face. And before she could get out any words, I said, that's okay. That's okay. Forgive you. Like the prodigal son. He practiced that speech, didn't he? Going to go back to the father and say, Father, I've sinned. And before he could get it out, Father said, bring the fatted calf. And this is the amazing thing in that. Now, she ruined a couple of pages in my Bible. No problem. I've got 3 or 4 others just like it. But you know the amazing thing is now I turn the page and look at that and I say, well. Honestly. The Lord has scars in His hands that we put there. And He looks at him and says, well. That's amazing, isn't it? Like a father pitieth his children. He's full of mercy, ready to pardon. Verse 9 says, He will not chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. If He seems angry, He won't keep it forever. He will not chide. He will not chasten too long, more than you're able to bear. You know, if we're without it, we're bastards, aren't we? If we are chastened, God dealeth with us as with son. But he still doesn't deal with us the way our fathers dealt. It says in Hebrews 12, we had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And it says they chastened us after their own pleasure. And sometimes I thought that's exactly what my dad was deriving from his chastening of me. And he would say, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. I didn't believe that for a minute. Did you? I know now, don't you? It really does hurt you more than it hurts them. And my father was often, well, sometimes wrong. But he dealt with me. Did you ever have, those of you who had siblings, when your parents couldn't find out who did what, that they punished all of you? Anybody? Sarah? Absolutely. Well, that happens sometimes. I thought, that's not fair. Danny did that. He's always doing that, my brother. But since he couldn't find out, I'll just punish you all. God doesn't do that. He can't do that. He doesn't do it after his own pleasure, for our good, but for our good. And every single time he chastens, it's for our good, according to his infinite wisdom. It's going to work for our good. He's not capable of doing anything else. All that for our good. He will not chide, continue to chide longer than is necessary. Verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our mercy, to our iniquity. He hath not. He will not, and he hath not, never will, deal with us after our sins. Is that the best news you've ever heard? Huh? He hath not. Why? Will the Lord never deal with us after our sins, according to the justice that our sins deserve, the recompense of reward. Why will he not deal with us after our sin? Why has he not rewarded us or punished us according to our iniquities? Why? Because he dealt with Christ after our sin. That's why. He rewarded him for what we did. In other words, he got the blame for what I did, and I got the credit for what he did. That's called substitution. Substitution. That is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. He hath not. He is merciful. He will not chide forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sin. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I used to look with me at Isaiah 55, very quickly. Isaiah 55. I used to read these verses like that, and especially Isaiah 55, speaking of the Lord's ways and thoughts being higher than the heavens are above the earth. And I thought of that as being his just the essence of his person, how infinite he is in his thoughts and his ways, and how much higher he is than us and past finding out. And that's true. But the sense in which he said this, look at it. He's talking about his thoughts and his ways that are higher above us than the heavens are the earth. He's talking about his mercy. That his mercy is so much greater than us, so much higher than what mercy we know. It's as high as the heavens are above the earth. He says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. How wicked? The wicked. The unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Well, return unto the Lord, but if he leaves, he won't take him back again. No, it doesn't say that. Just keep coming back. To whom coming? Our Lord, didn't our Lord say, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He didn't say how many times, did he? Keep coming. Oh, no way. There will never be a time when he will not take you back. Never be a time when he said, all right, you've done it now. It's too much. You've gone too far. I will not receive you. No, he said, him that cometh, let him return. Let him return. We play the prodigal daily, don't we? And the father kills the fatted calf daily in the form of the gospel. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will, not maybe, not might, not if you do that, he will have mercy. That's because of who he is. I used to balk at the statement when a man, I heard this years ago, that God is merciful, so he has to show mercy. I remember distinctly as a young man thinking, that's just not right. His mercy is sovereign. Yes, it is. But he is merciful. And if he, what he is, he must show. This is his glory. He must be merciful. Our hope is who he is, people. It's not in a doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord's mercy. It's in him. He is. This is what he is. Do you need mercy? He cannot not be merciful to someone that needs mercy. Is that right? That's because of who he is. Lord, I need mercy. You got it. He is. He will have mercy. And it says to our God. This is our God. This is my God. My hope. All my salvation. And it says he will abundantly pardon. We're not getting to heaven by the skin of our teeth. Reluctantly. You don't deserve to be here. Okay, come on in. No! When that, he says, if one sinner repents, heaven erupts. Think of that. He's not like us. We reluctantly receive people. If you keep begging, if you keep asking, I might forgive you. No. He even gives that, Brother Chris. He gives that repentance, the goodness of God. And then when we bring to him what he gives, he readily accepts it. Come on in. Well done. Isn't that a father? Isn't that just like a father? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. David one time said, is this the way of man? No. God is merciful to the worst. Oh, didn't our Lord reveal that? His last saving work, the last person he saved was the worst person on earth. Wasn't it? The thief on the cross. One we would not say. Had that man, he was a murderer also, had he broken into your house and killed your only begotten child, you wouldn't have mercy on that man, would you? That's the first person the Lord Jesus Christ brought into glory with him. His last act was the worst sinner as the first person in glory. He's merciful. He's merciful. His ways are infinitely higher. His mercy, he delights to show mercy because that's what he is. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh my. Like that story of the scapegoat. Huh? Our Lord is both the goat and the fit man, isn't it? Huh? He's the one upon whom God put our iniquity, and he's the fit man who took them away where they can't be found again. Old Brother Jack Shanks one time preached on this, and he said, God's not goat hunting either. God's not hunting the goat. He's gone. Sins are gone to be remembered no more. Says the iniquity of Israel shall be sought. Won't be found. Why? Because they're not there. not there. You remember no more, never to be brought up again, just as if I'd never sinned. Think about that. Because, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He pitieth. James, and let me just give a few more minutes to this. James said this, the Lord is merciful. And men often use the word pitiful in the wrong way. It says the Lord is very pitiful. Not meaning he needs pity. It means he's full of pity. The Lord is very pitiful, very full of pity. Pity means to feel sorry for. Pity means to have compassion upon the weakness, to feel the weakness of another. Pity. Like as a father pitieth his children, all of whom fear him. That which characterizes this generation, pride and all that, is no fear. If you ask me the greatest characterization of God's people, it's fear. Fear of the Lord, which always translates into humility and meekness and so forth. But fear, those that fear him, those that honor him, praise him, worship him, but pity. You parents, those of you who have been blessed to have children and grandchildren, tell me, beside love, what is the thing you feel most toward your children? Is it not pity? You feel for them, don't you? As much as we pity our own children, how much more? How much more? And these illustrations will not go very far to reveal the pity of the Lord, because his pity is higher than the heavens are the earth. But at my own daughter's birth, Hannah, my daughter, and again at my granddaughter's, I remember when the doctor handed that, I was there, and the doctor handed our daughter to me, put her in my arms, and beside an overwhelming sense of love that I felt instantly knit with her, I looked into her eyes and she looked into my eyes. It was love at first sight, buddy. It was. For the mother now is love long before she was born. But the thing I felt even more than that at that moment was pity. She was crying. You know, the first thing they got to do is inflict a little pain, don't they? Make her cry, fill those lungs up, you know, make sure the child is alive. She crieth, inflict a little pain. She's cold. She's been in a hot tub for 9 months. And now she's out in this cold, cruel world. She's bewildered, isn't she? She's perplexed. She's confused. What's going on here? It's a traumatic thing. It's a violent thing, isn't it? Huh? It's a violent thing. Pain she never felt before. Cold she never felt before. Confusion she never felt before. And I pitied her, Brother Tom. I pitied her. I would say, let's put you back in. I'm going to join you. And I began to pity, as the days went by, I began to pity her on the future. Born into this cruel world, huh? A sinful world, and all that she would have to go through, the falls, the troubles, the trials, the pain, the sorrow. Pitied her. Why does the Lord pity us? How and why does the Lord pity us? Verse 14, because he knoweth our frame. How does he know our frame? Because as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also took part of the same. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows our frame because he became flesh and dwelt among us. He knows us. He knoweth our frame. My. Everything about us. I was going to have you turn to Psalm 139, but don't do that. You know those verses, how that David said, there's nothing I think, nothing I say, nothing about me. You don't know it altogether. You know it before I think it, before I say it. He said, you knew me before I was even made. You know me. He knows our frame, our makeup. Now here's, give me a moment or two, okay? I think this will comfort you. He knows our frame. What is our frame? Well, we just heard this, didn't we? Sinful. Full of lust, full of temptations, the propensity to evil that's there. How does he know this? And this goes along well with what we just heard. How can the Lord really know what sin does to us? Unless he really was made sin. You know, men have made this somewhat of a controversy, but to me, Brother Don, it's without controversy. like the incarnation of Christ, it's without controversy. God was manifest or made flesh, and without controversy, he was made sin. Now, our Lord was tempted in all points, yet without sin in his life, being the perfect sacrifice, the sinless man, without spot or blemish. But when he went to Calvary's tree, he was filled full of sin. How else could he know how I feel? Huh? If all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said or did were written in a book, the world could not contain them. What all did he say on Calvary's tree? We don't know. We have seven sayings. That doesn't mean that's all he said, does it? Some believe he quoted all of Psalm 22, don't they? I go along with that. My God, it starts out. And that whole psalm. His bones are poured out like water. He may, Brother Todd, have quoted Psalm 38, which is a messianic psalm, absolutely, isn't it? My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, Psalm 38 says. Is that how you feel? That's how we feel it. We know what it feels like to be full of sin. How could he know unless he was full of sin? Huh? He knows our frame. He didn't do it. He didn't commit it. But he became it. Explain that. I don't have to. Nobody can. And a man's a fool to argue it. Just believe it and bow to it. And men under the guise and the pretense of giving him glory take away from his glory when they don't acknowledge that he became sinful. That's a fact. You cannot know what someone is feeling unless you really, really have gone through that, can you? Your teenager, like a father pitieth his children. Your teenagers often look at you and say, you don't know what I'm going through. Most teenagers think that their parents went from 12 to 40 overnight, don't they? Don't they? You don't know what I'm going through. Shoot. You know them better than they know them, don't you? Of course you do. That's why you're so, don't do this. Don't do what I did. Right? Am I telling the truth here? How else could he know? He did. But he became sin. He really did. What I say is let's quit striving with potsherds. Arguing with goats, and let's just comfort our people. But this is his glory. He knows our frame, our sinful frame. He was made sin. He knows our weakness and our inability. My little granddaughter tries her best to do things. She's only 2 years old. And she, without her parents, she can do nothing. Nothing. Well, didn't our Lord say just that? You know, our Lord keeps calling us His little children because we'll never really be any more than that. Little children, the Lord, Brother Bob, kept saying that to grown men in their 30s and 40s, His disciples. He said, little children. We don't expect much out of that little two-year-old girl. In fact, we don't expect anything. What does the Lord expect out of flesh? Nothing. He knows our frame. He doesn't expect too much. What is our frame? Do you ever wake up in a bad frame of mind? Maybe I should ask, do you ever wake up in a good frame of mind? We blame it on one side of the bed, don't we? So we sleep on the other. Wake up the same way. Bad frame of mind. His children. The Lord knows His children like more than we even know our own, and pity our own. The pride that we have, which we should never have. A child of God should never have pride ever, but we do, don't we? I remember distinctly bragging about something to my friends, you know, boasting. Boys get together, and girls start bragging, you know, boasting and all that. And I was talking about this and that and the other, and turned around, and my dad was standing there. Now, he knows me. About half of what I'd said was a lie. And the other half, he did it for me or gave it to me or whatever, and I was bragging about it. What do we have that we have not received? What? Name something. Anything that we have not received. Now, if we've received it, how could we possibly glory as if we had not received it? But we do. That's our frame, isn't it? Cold. How could we listen to this gospel and be cold? How? The Lord was going to the cross. He sweat blood for them. What were they doing? Sleeping. I get mad at people that fall asleep in church. I'll just be honest with you. Go ahead, Don. Be honest. You said be honest. Okay. We get mad. What did the Lord do? Three times they fell asleep. All three times. Finally He said, sleep on. He knows our frame. Aren't you glad? Knows our frame. Cold, ignorant, sorrowful. You ever sorrowful over what you don't know? Why? You ever depressed for no reason? Got the blues, the blahs? David said, "You have all my tears in your bottle." Does anything touch you, Brother D, quite like the cry of your child? Anything. Nothing. The scripture says He has every tear that every one of His children have shed every time in a bottle. Remember. Knows them all. Foolishness. Childishness. Our frame. I get pleasure thinking about the Lord with His disciples. And you know, a bunch of fellas get together. They like to cut up, don't they? Don't they, Jim? I cut up, pick at one another and all that. And a lot of foolishness goes on. And just a pack of foolishness. The more of them you get together, the crazier it gets. You reckon those fishermen that got together, those brothers and cousins that got together, you reckon they carried on a bunch of foolishness like little kids? Can you see the Lord looking at them as you would your children playing in the yard? That's great. In fact, there's nothing they ever said or did that wasn't foolish to Him. Brother Bob, he's so high above his thoughts, and everything they said was like a little child's understanding jewelry. He took pleasure in them. He's far above us. Far above us. Knows our frame. And it says here in closing, it says, He remembers that we're dust. The man is like a flower in the field. The wind passes over, it's gone. Dust. Dust to dust. Created the dust, go back to the dust. Born to die. That's sad, isn't it? Doesn't last long, does it? Nothing lasts long. Things you enjoy, things you do, just doesn't last long. I think that's maybe one reason I'm enjoying being a grandfather so much is my child, he went by so fast. And I get to experience it again. I'm reliving my child again. Slower, trying to do it slower. Appreciate the little thing. It all goes by so fast. The Lord knows that. Here and gone. Can I stay a little while? Do I have to go now? He knows our frame. I'm not ready to die yet. No, and you won't be until you're ready to die. That's what Spurgeon told that woman one time. She said, Brother Spurgeon, I fear I don't have dying grace. I don't feel like I'm ready to go. He said, well, are you dying? She said, I don't think so. He said, then you don't need it. Well, just as soon as you need it. He said, you mark the perfect man, that man that's in Christ. The end of that man, peace. You have dying grace. He'll be ready to go. She'll be ready to go. Ready to go. We go from birth, born, to infancy, to being a toddler, an adolescent, a teen, adult, and we revert right back to old age, or right back to childhood in our old age. No. Sad, isn't it? Sad. You finally grow up, and then you begin to become a child all over again. I'm watching that. But our Lord said this, you hearken unto me, those of you who are born by me from the belly and from the womb, even to old age, he said, I am he. Even to hoary hairs, gray haired, will I carry you. I have made you, I will bear or carry you. And I'll carry you and I will deliver you because I'm your Lord. I'm out. Old age and weakness and strength is gone and courage is gone. The mind is gone. But he never changes. Pities our frame. Knows our frame. Pities us like a father pitieth his children. My, my, what a great Lord we have. Okay. The Lord bless that.
God Almighty said in Malachi 3:10, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you, and that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I believe he's been faithful to that promise this morning. I don't have room for that, do you? Thank God for Christ. Let's be dismissed in prayer and stay and eat if you can. We got lots of good food. I appreciate all the work that's been done. Thank the Lord for the faithfulness of his people. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Todd, ask the Lord to bless this to us this morning.
Our merciful Heavenly Father, our Father.